You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Brendan Fernandez. Brendan, thanks so much for being with me today.
Of course. Hello, everybody.
Brendan, we're going to talk about your show at Susan Englert Duet, and I'm excited to talk about this because it's a very beautiful show, I think, and I want to get into the different things happening here. So to begin with, Duet, let's start with the show, the title, because that's a big part of what's happening here, right? This is, it's happening kind of formally in terms of forms, but also a relationship, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think for me, it comes also from my background as a dancer, thinking about the idea of bodies and collaboration. And so the duet was an important kind of way to conceptualize the show.
And so let's talk about the bodies in collaboration here, because this also has a kind of queer narrative through it. Is that fair to say? Is that part of what the narrative is here in terms of relationships?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think for me, the duet has multiplicity of like ideas and concepts. One of them is like the duet of two bodies performing together. There's also the idea of the bodies kind of like performing in a queer narrative, of the idea of like cruising. The show is inspired by the work of Scott Burton. Scott was, an artist, a gay icon, a queer forerunner who was making strides in his kind of work, looking at ideas of hybridity, but also the ideas of like the legacy of trying to find freedoms and rights for gay people, queer people. And a lot of his work like dealt with the idea of cruising. So it's the idea of like looking for another body that is similar to yours in terms of like reading body language, but to kind of encounter each other in a sexual engagement, and then to have that kind of, you know, expression. And for me, that's a duet. And so I kind of played with that in the narrative as well of the show.
But cruising as a duet, it itself, that relationship of cruising, you mean, on both sides?
Absolutely, yeah. So like almost like two separate bodies trying to find each other. When they come together, that is the duet, and then that then separates, and then they move apart.
So let's talk about the images particularly. Yeah, that's a really lovely idea, right? It's kind of poeticizing the idea of cruising, right? I mean, if I'm not overstating your influence,
no,
by
absolutely,
that artist, it's talking about that space and time, which is a very particular place that's not often, well, I guess it's written about, but it's not often framed like this, which is a dance, as you're saying, in many ways.
Yeah, and the idea that like, you know, even in a cruising, like there's this idea of like noticing, being aware. So there is a choreography to it. Like it might not be a set choreography like a ballet dance, but there's this idea that there's a sense of like directness or like a reading of a body to kind of understand that there is a space. Because like, you know, cruising was done because, you know, gay people needed to find each other, but they needed to do it like under safety. So there's also this idea of safety in the idea of finding each other.
Well, the safety is what? You mean the safety is what's kind of in disguise almost by safety? What do you mean? I mean, I understand it in the context of cruising, but in the images, you're talking about like one person keeping another safe or the environment itself?
I'm thinking more than in the gesture, because what you see in Susan's show is my photographs. And also those came out of a live performance that happened in an exhibition. And so I guess I'm describing maybe more so the performance, where the dancers themselves in a museum, the Pulitzer Foundation in St. Louis, played this kind of game of a call and response, a hide and seek, where they would kind of play and find each other and then come together and make a duet. And then from that, I started to notice that these moments of intimacy, these moments of encounter, were really poetic, beautiful, and beautiful. And so I started to make these photographs that kind of capture those moments of, I guess, the encounter, the intimacy. So that's what we see at the show at Susan Englert, is this kind of more like a capture of the actual moment of them being together. And in that, it's there's a beauty as well, and there's an intimacy, and there also is a moment of like safety as well.
So let's talk about that choreography a little bit, right? Because that's really the way to discuss all of these as emanating from this performance. And so it's the narrative of the performance is what we're getting at earlier, right? What is the arc of the performance, you think, in terms of how this was directed or choreographed and choreographed?
Well, I definitely worked with the dancers in collaboration. We came up with a number, like I came up with a score, and in the score, there's a lot of like details of like finding each other, being visible, and question this idea of being invisible. So even in the museum itself, the museum had a lot of reflections, windows, and so they were like looking for each other's reflections in windows, and then when they would see each other, they'd respond. And there were certain gestures of like flicking the wrist, for example, kind of like breaking the wrist, like kind of calling to each other in a kind of a playful kind of like moment. So then if somebody saw that, then they would do that, and then they would respond to each other and then walk to each other. And then when they did walk to each other, then they would create like a duet intention. Like they would hold each other, they would pull apart from each other, and then do this dance until they broke apart. And then they would walk again into the space and try to find another dancer.
Hmm. I like that. I like that so much. And so when these come out of it, images like the one that is of just two hands behind a curtain, right? We see two sets of feet. It's called As Two, Two. And right, there's the performance, there's the movement, there's the bodies, and then this is really kind of a disembodied picture, right? I mean, just to talk about specific images, As Two, Two, we're looking at two hands reaching out to one another. One hand is not grasping, the other is kind of hung down. But it's sort of an extension of that Michelangelo gesture, right? The creation of life. But in this case, one hand isn't quite responding like the other, and it seems to have I look at that and I'm curious, like what's happening here? Can we talk about that? Because it's so curious that one hand is sort of pointing down almost.
Absolutely, and I think for me, it's again this idea that like you see like an abstraction of a body. But the body itself is also still kind of like veiled or covered. So there's a sense of invisibility, and it's almost like this question of like what's happening behind that scene or what's happening. But then you are also given a glimpse of what is happening. So then you can start to build a narrative or build some questions or ask, you know, why is this happening? And so for me, it's kind of playing on like a moment of like, of vagueness that is also kind of like questioning the scene, if that makes sense. So it's definitely like playful, but I also like the idea that, you know, like the fabrics that they're hiding behind or veiled behind are actual fabrics that I created and made. I made them at the fabric workshop in St. Louis. And if you look at them, they look like they're stained. And what those stains are actually my swiping gestures when I'm on my telephone, where my finger is leaving like you know, body secretions and fluids and grease across my phone screen that I've taken off while I'm on gay dating applications or cruising applications like Grindr or Scruff or Hinge or Tinder. But for me, that becomes a contemporary way of cruising. And the way I printed them, it looks like it's, you know, like body fluids or stains. And so I feel like that also is an interesting way that they're behind that. Like, so that is also a body index. That abstraction is a place of bodiliness. And I love kind of playing with that as well in this kind of narrative. And then that sometimes also the staining looks like it's part of the hands, or there's a really kind of nice kind of play there for me. And again, the fabric pieces are my, it's my work. It's also the swiping kind of feels like a movement pattern. Like it's also like a narrative, like dance score as well.
I love hearing about that way. And that brings up, of course, your collaboration with the Fabric Workshop Museum in Philadelphia. So let's talk a little bit about it. That's that piece, the cloth you were making sounds fascinating. You also made something called Soft Touch One, a sculptural object with them, which of course looks like a giant piece of granite or something. But tell me about this material, its meaning, and I know it's well, tell me a little bit about this, because it also looks like a pretty fantastic thing to make at the workshop, fabric workshop.
Absolutely. And I think for me, like, working at the fabric workshop has been a dream. And then to have this being included into this institution and dreaming of ideas and getting to make them has been really exciting for an artist. That's really, you know, doesn't always happen. But they really work in collaboration and try to make your ideas come to fruition. But I've been really thinking, you know, my work has always been a collaboration with the body and its relationship to sculpture. And in the past, my work has always been, you know, my sculptural work has been like wood or metal, you know, hard materials. And in this exhibition, you know, I was really thinking, you know, Scott Burton's work was all stone and metal and hard materials. And I was like really thinking about the body as a living sculpture, something that is like warm and moving and soft. And so I wanted to kind of make like soft sculptures that would like support the body and also like allow the body to be taken care of in a certain way. And like for me, this came out like, you know, in the pandemic, I couldn't really make work, and I really was thinking about my relationship to furniture, like things that supported my body when I couldn't be around other bodies. And in this piece, I started to think about that. And so the curtains is that in one instance, and then Soft Touch is also that. So I scanned Scott Burton's granites, and we created a fabric, and then we made these kind of pillows, basically, or larger, you know, like boulders, pillows that look like they're hard and cold, but they're actually quite porous and allow the kind of ergonomic. And so the dancers use those as a way of like of moving and supporting their body, but also like challenging their body.
Oh, I love that. That looks like it must have been so much fun to make there, right? Because it's this, you know, fabric workshop, and you're walking out of there with what looks like a boulder.
Yes, it looks like a boulder, and you know, it's a piece that the dancers work with and use in the choreography. And at one point in the initial choreography, I was like, you know, you guys will carry these and move them around the space, and they're like, they weigh 100 pounds, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that this pillow would. So it is actually heavy. So instead of them carrying them, they do this like kind of pushing gesture where they like move the boulder and then like lay their body on it. And so, you know, for me also, the duet comes back to the body's relationship as it also dances with the sculpture. And, you know, Scott Burton's work had that kind of relationship of the body to its, like, you know, performers' bodies to the sculpture. And I think that's another intersection between our work that I find exciting and interesting, that we shared this kind of like synergy between body and sculpture. But here in my work in the show, it was all kind of really pushing the idea of softness, like porousness, that the sculptures are kind of like a little bit like tangible in that way. Because when you see like, you know, stone sculpture or bronze sculpture, even though they, you know, like, or wooden sculpture, there's a certain sense of staticness. And here there's a sense of like malleability, and the body really can interact with it in a different way.
I like that. Yeah, that's so true. And so to speak more about that, I think there's an image in here, one more work, as to 9, a Roman numeral 9. And it's the two bodies that were performing kind of on top of one another. They're also on top of two of the objects that we just talked about, using them as props. Yeah, let's talk about this, because this is obviously, you know, I don't know, the most direct sort of imagery that's about a relationship, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, cameras are really important devices to challenge the way I archive, capture, understand my work. And so these photographs, you know, are very much, you know, are works of art where, you know, I've thought and posed the dancers, you know, not like that they're like, I'm taking the images while they're dancing, like I'm really constructing the image. And, you know, I play with shutter speeds, and some of them are more, like, grainy, and some of them have more movement because of the way I've conceptualized the camera to create action and show gesture or blur gesture. This piece you're talking about is probably the most, like, you know, it's like a snapshot. It's like a capture of a moment. And you see the bodies are both in focus. They're laying on two rocks, and then both the bodies are on top of each other. And I like that because you see the intimacy, you see the connection, you see the duet. You know, and again, we can question, is it the duet with the two bodies? Is it the body with the pillow? But there's an idea of like generosity, kindness, support, caring, giving, nurture in this moment. I also really appreciate this idea that, you know, the dancers are almost like in an embrace, and there's no direct looking at the camera. Like, you know, you kind of see, like, you're just going to see a tender moment. And for me, that is something that I'm really pushing in this body of work, this tender moment, but also this tension. And I love how the bodies, like, you know, they're both wearing, the performers are wearing white t-shirts, navy jeans, and platform shoes, which for me is, you know, a gate cruising kind of uniform. Like, if you see somebody wearing that, it signals a code. It signals, like, a coding of, like, okay, that person might be, you know, cruising or looking or part of my gay community. And so, but also when you place them on top of each other, you can't see where one body starts and one body ends. It kind of starts to become like an abstraction or a melding of the bodies.
I really love that. That's so lovely the way you're talking about that. And in that performance, what will happen next? Will that be performed again? What's the life of the performance itself?
So the performance happened at the Pulitzer Foundation during the Scott Burton exhibition. You know, for me, it's always, and we had a beautiful run. We performed it a number of times. I'm hoping to find other places to show the work. You know, in Susan's exhibition, I wanted to focus on the photographs and the soft sculptures. But I'm sure this work will be, you know, shown in other institutions and spaces. And then I get to reperform it and hopefully work and reconsider it. And I think that's a really interesting thing and a beautiful thing for me. It's like I make a work, I let it rest, and then when I come back to it, it has its sameness, but it also gets the newness depending where it's performed.
I love the way you put that. Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, that's the wonderful aspect of live, right, being live.
Yeah.
I want to ask you one more question before we go. I'm sorry, go on. Tell me, I don't want to interrupt you.
Just a dance, you know, as a dancer, as a former dancer, like, you know, I always perform different ballets and then the same ballets, but, you know, the venue, the audience, like, with liveness, it always changes, and that's kind of like a beautiful kind of even a metaphor for queerness, that, you know, things are never the same. It's always going to be in a state of flux and challenge and change, and that's the beauty of live performance. It sort of lives in an ephemeral.
So true, yeah, and that's so exciting, of course, for art and life. Thanks for sharing that. I'm so glad you mentioned that. That's really beautiful. I want to ask you one more question before we go, a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
Oh, what am I reading right now? I'm reading a book called Never Silent by Peter Stanley. It kind of looks at, or not look, it's like a biography of his work in ACT UP. And it's just sort of, you know, right now, I think current political times, I'm just being self-aware. I'm looking back at historical moments. I'm seeing where we're going backwards in life. I'm just sort of thinking about some places, the histories, the work that we still need to do to gain and be within our freedoms and our civil rights. And so I'm just reading this book right now to kind of place me and ground me and remind me of the things I still need to do.
And that's Never Silent.
Never Silent by Peter Stanley.
Brendan, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time, your work. There's more links to learn more and hopefully go to the show. Again, thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.